There's a choice that comes to each of us as we travel life's pathway. It's not an easy question, but a struggle we must face. We must choose to live for God, His word, but to live for self and sin. No man can serve two masters. That's a battle you can't win. I choose God. I choose the Bible way. I choose to love the Lord with all my heart and my strength. I choose God. Salvation is for real. I choose the cross. I choose to do His will. I choose God.
When I came upon this crossroad in my life not long ago, I faced a bitter struggle. But this one thing you must know, I have made the right decision, and I'm as happy as can be. 'Cause this is what my choice was when the question came to me.
I choose God, I choose the Bible way. I choose to love the Lord with all my heart and my strength. I choose God. Salvation is for real. I choose the cross. I choose to do His will. I choose God. I choose God. I choose the Bible way. I choose to love the Lord with all my heart and my strength. I choose God. Salvation is for real. I choose the cross. I choose to do His will. I choose God. I choose God. I choose God.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. Our college students are, the rest of them are heading out this week. So if you'd pray for those heading out to Bible college as they're on their way and the parents are kicking them out, sending them out. But be praying for the students, parents, and all that as they get ready to start this next chapter or continue for others as well. And that's an exciting time. We are expecting for the Browns trio of men to sing next Sunday night. And so I expect you guys to be ready for that, and we're looking forward to hearing that special. Right now, Brother Jeremy said, we're good to go. Brother Jeremy likes to sing. You hear him singing all the time. People are telling him to stop. No, not really. Appreciate you all. Thank you for singing, ladies. 1 Samuel 14, in your Bibles, please, 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel 14, as you find that, would you stay under your feet as we read the Word of God tonight? First Samuel 14, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. 1 Samuel 14, verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bears armor, Come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side, but he told not his father." We'll skip down now to verse number 4. The people had, he didn't tell his father in the verses here, they knew not that he was gone. Verse 4, it says, "And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sina. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Mishmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, Come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to say by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, Tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, Come up unto us, then we will go up, and the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves into the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor-bearer and said, Come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor-bearer, Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor-bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer slew after him. Let's pray. I pray, Lord, that you bless this message tonight, Lord, and the service that we have. Most of all, Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Do the work that we need done in our hearts and our lives. I pray you would help the needs that are needed in our hearts and our lives, Lord, and help us, Lord, in this area of seeing victory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. In the previous chapter, Saul had not waited for Samuel, the prophet, to come and to offer the sacrifices, and Samuel came, and the Lord had refused him from being king. And we find in the next chapter, immediately now in chapter number 14, this is where we pick up where Jonathan and his armor bearer, they said, let us go and let's go get some Philistines, right? they're arranged, they're ready for battle, but as the Philistines had said, and as they would said here as well, they were in hiding. If you're in the army, you're in battle, I think you're supposed to be fighting. You're supposed to be going after the enemy, and they were hiding themselves. So Jonathan said, hey, what are we doing here? Let's go. And he went to his armor bearer and said, let's go fight some Philistines. And as you see in verse number 6, I love this verse, and they said, let's go over against the garrison of the uncircumcised. It may be the Lord will work for us. Amen. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. I love the faith that they had. I love the initiative they had. Said, let's go and let's see if God will work for us. Too many people are sitting back waiting for someone else to fight the battle, waiting for someone else to take the battle of the Philistines. Hey, if God has put a sword in your hand and you're in battle against them, it probably means you go get them. And it says, there's no restraint the Lord to save by many or by few. It doesn't matter how many the numbers are. God has never dealt with the numbers, the odds. If you're looking at there's more of them than us, you're looking the wrong way. Because with God on your side, you have the majority on your side. And the armor bearer said, I'm behind you, let's go. And they went, and Jonathan said, when we go see the Philistines, if they say, stay there, we're going to come down to you, we're not going up. But if they say, come up to us, we're going to go up and we're going to go start a battle. We're going to go start a fight. And so they came there, and the Philistines said, come up and we're going to show you a thing. If you don't know, that's man talk. Well, we're going to take you behind the shed. We're going to bring it to you. Usually the ones that are talking the loudest are not the ones you have to be as worried about. It's the quiet ones. It's the one that sneaky one that they're out there. They're ready for the fight. They're ready for the game. They let the game talk, not the mouth talk. You know what I'm talking about? And so they said, let's go up. And the Bible says they went up hand and foot, and they slew around 20 Philistines, the Bible said, on half an acre, two against 20. And there was a lot of hand-to-hand combat. That's a close place to be when you're in a battle against the enemies, and God gave them the victory. Jonathan wanted to see a victory that day, and he thought, why not us? Right? Why not us? Why not now? Why can't God see a victory in our lives? I have a question for you tonight, and the challenge, the message tonight is this. When is the last time that you've seen a personal victory in your life? When's the last time you've seen a personal victory in your life? See, too many people that were there in Saul's army, they were in hiding. There's too many Philistines. They have all the excuses of, oh, it's not the time of day to fight, and we haven't had lunch yet, and the sun's not, you know, people have all the excuses. And Jonathan said, hey, why not now? And why not us? Let's go. And they didn't need to take a, poll. What does everyone think if we should go up and fight? He didn't tell his dad. He didn't, the king, they didn't tell him. He said, we're just going, you and me. Let's just go. And they weren't ready to wait. If everyone's on our side, what does everyone think? They said, let's go and see what God will do for us. See, too many Christians today are living defeated and discouraged lives, holding back, saying, well, someday if God calls me, if God wants me, guess what? God is calling, but too many people are sitting back waiting, sitting back hiding, waiting for someone else to take the initiative to the battle. But how about you seeing personal victory in your life? Too many people are being discouraged and defeated by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Guess what? They can be discouraging, but let's take the fight to the enemy. How about that? How about we take the fight to the enemy and say, hey, it may be that God will work for me. See, God is not constrained by numbers. He's not constrained by age. He's only constrained by our lack of faith, by our lack of obedience, where we hold back and say, well, I don't know, maybe someday. How about we go and get some personal victory for the Lord? How about running the Christian race? How about getting in the race and not sitting back watching others run the race? We must see personal victories in our life. Christian, when's the last time you personally seen a soul saved? When's the last time you personally opened your Bible, you gave the gospel out, gave out a gospel tract, and you personally got to see someone bow their head and close their eyes and lead someone to Christ? I believe that's still a command for every Christian to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But too many times we're sitting back thinking, well, it must not be me. I've not been given the gift of soul winning. I don't have an outgoing personality, and I mean, I'm busy. We can give ourselves all the excuses in the world, but God wants to see a personal victory from seeing a soul that was on their way to hell get saved and they're on their way to heaven. You got to open your mouth at some point, give out a gospel tract and say, do you know for sure if you die today that you go to heaven? When's the last time you've seen a personal victory where you saw somebody saved? If it's been a while, doesn't it bother you? Doesn't it bother you? We pass people every day and not a single soul in a week that you've been able to lead to Christ. Are we even going out trying to see a victory? Or do we think that somehow they're coming to us and at some point they're going to ask me and God will give me the opportunity? You got to open your mouth and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. See a victory. When's the last time you've seen a prayer answered? Amen? I was talking to the Dickmans. Their AC was out. Prayers have been answered. It's working again. Thank the Lord. We were praying for that. We had a couple needs on the prayer list this week that we heard answer prayer. Thank the Lord for that. But what about for you personally, where God has allowed you to see a prayer answered, where you prayed and you know that God came through and you saw a victory for God? Too many times we're not seeing victories because we're not attempting anything for God. We're sitting back and a casual Christianity is killing our churches. Casual Christianity is killing our country. And people are going to hell while we wait for someone else to step up and to go fight the enemy. How about you, Christian? How about you get up and you be a witness and you pray? When's the last time you got victory over sin? Let's just get real tonight. When's the last time you got personal victory over sin in your life? Right? Hey, we have this sinful fleshly nature that we're carrying with us to the grave. Someday we'll leave this robe of flesh and we'll be in heaven and sinless, spotless. We'll never have sin or a sorrow again. But until then, we face the flesh every day, right? Once again, I faced Satan this morning and he battled me all the day long. And sometimes it's that flesh and it's not just the devil that we're battling. Are you getting victory over sin, Christian? Or are you living in sin? So, well, I'm not getting victory. It just keeps defeating me. What are you doing to take the battle to the enemy? Right? Say it's my flesh. What are you doing to take the battle to your flesh in the area of your sin that you battle with? The Bible says, laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. getting victory over sin. When's the last time that you saw God lead in your life? Where God gave you personal direction, where you prayed and you sought counsel, you looked in the Word of God and God gave you direction for your life, praying for a decision, praying for a need, and God led your life. We've got to see personal victories. Number one is this: you can't live on the victories of others. You can't live on the victories of others. I'm thankful for Christians in the past and preachers of the past that saw victories and souls saved and tent revival meetings and thousands saved. But what about today? What about here? What about for you? It's great that God works in others' lives, but what about in your life? What about for you? You say, thank the Lord we had some souls saved this week. I'm thankful for that too. But I didn't get to see anyone saved personally. And it's not a me against you competition thing. Don't get that at all. But I want God to work in your life, but I want Him to work in my life as well. Don't you? You want God to work in your life? We can't live on the victories of others. See, Jonathan, the armor bearer, said, hey, we've had victories in the past over the Philistines. We've seen others. David got victory over Goliath, but what about us? What about now? So maybe God will work for us too. Young person, don't think because of your age that God can't work for you. Don't think because I'm in junior high, I'm in high school, I'm 13, I'm 15. You know, God can't, maybe someday God can work in my life. God can work in your life right now if you'll step out and do something for the Lord. It's great that God's working in others' lives, but what about yours? It's great that God is speaking to the hearts of others, but what about for yours? I'm thankful for people in my life, especially as a young person growing up, people that helped to influence and to guide my life and point me to the Lord and serving the Lord. I'm thankful for those that have gone before doing something for God. But what about our generation? Amen? I'm talking to the younger crowd now today. We better not wait for the older generation to do everything in the church. We better step up as a younger generation and say, we are going to do something for God as well. Amen? We can't expect others to do it if we're not doing it ourselves. The next generation must take it on. I'm challenged by God working in others' lives, but that's not good enough just for me. I want God to work in my life as well. You can't live on the victories of others, and you also can't live on past victories. You can't live on past victories. Well, back in the day, right, we walked uphill both ways to school in the snow and all the stuff. You know, if we're living back in the day in our Christian lives, I remember when God answered that prayer. I'm thankful that God answered the prayer back then. But what about today? What about today? Say, man, we had a great Sunday last Sunday. What about today? I was talking with Pastor Johnson this morning, and I knew we had multiple people lined up getting ready to get baptized, and we had a couple ready to join the church, and the wife was sick, so we waited on that, and I was excited, ready to preach and ready to come and see our church, and I thought, man, God's ready to do a great work today. You know what that means? The devil's coming too. Amen. I was like, man, the devil's coming. I shouldn't have said it, but man, I knew it was coming, and there was stuff going on and things happening. I thought, you know what? Praise the Lord. Something's happening at Shasta Baptist Church. Amen? But we can't live on past victories. It's great you've had victory in the past. What about now? We better be careful not to be a used-to-be Christian. I used to teach a class. I used to be faithful soul winning. And I'm not talking about health needs. Your health limitations don't allow you to do that now. I'm not giving you a hard time. You've been faithful, and there's still much for you to do. But we better not live in the past. You know, back then I worked on a bus route and I helped a class, and we better not be living in the past. We better be looking forward to the future, what God has for us as well. You can't live on past victories, but you also can't live on future victories. Someday I'm going to live for God. What about today? God's called your life, young man, to be a preacher. What are you doing about that today? God's called you to be a missionary. What are you doing today for that? Well, someday when God opens the door, if God's called you, the door's open, young person. Amen? older person as well. I won't call you old because I'm getting to that point as well. But if God has called and God is leading you, the time is now, not someday. We're waiting. Well, someday when God leads, how many souls have to die and go to hell till we get serious about living for God? Till we get, you know, well, someday I'm going to really get involved someday. And we're waiting for some life-changing experience in our lives and some milestone. And, you know, when the kids are born, when the kids are out of the house, when I go to college, we better not live in the future because that may never come. God's given you today. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The time is now. The opportunity is now. The Philistines are there. You got the sword. You got the armor bearer. Let's go now. We're not waiting for a posse and popularity in the polls. Let's go now. I think about Elisha. He saw God work in Elijah's life. And Elisha was Elijah's a servant, and he was helping him. But when Elijah was passing off the scene, what did Elisha say? He said, I want a double portion of Elijah's spirit. He wasn't trying to one-up. It wasn't a personal goal. He's trying to tally on his sheet. He said, I want to do twice as much for God. I want to do more for the Lord, not less. How many Christians today are looking to do less instead of more for God? How about we pick up that mantle from the previous generation and we take off running with it instead of trying to see how much we can step back? Amen? David came to the battle. And he came to the battle and brought food to his brothers. And I bet he thought he was going to be encouraged by them. And he was going to be challenged by their bravery and their faith. And they were going to think, David, come and see. Someday you're going to get to serve in the army as well. And we're going to beat these Philistines. He came and they were all hiding. He came out, what are you guys doing here? What are you hiding for? And here's Goliath out there defying God. Defying God's people. And he said, is there not a cause? And he said, hey, I don't need your armor. I don't need your sword. I've got five smooth stones and I've got the sling. And he said, Goliath, I come to you in the name of the Lord. This is not in the Bible, so I'm coming for you. All right? I'm coming to get you. You're going down today in the name of the Lord. How about we seek personal victories in our lives? Why do we need to see personal victories? Because the enemy needs to be defeated. Right? The Philistines, they're a picture of the world. They were the enemies of the Israelites. The Philistines needed to be defeated, didn't they? Right? And we have an enemy today, don't we? We have an enemy today, and they must be defeated. You say, well, I'm not here to fight. You know what happens when you're in a fight and you don't want to fight? What happens? You get knocked out. You get taken down. You better be ready because the fight's coming to you, Christian. We have an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may play with. Right? Make friends with. Can't we all just get along? I know current Christianity in churches, let's just be friends and get along and not have standards and convictions, and let's just drop all the stuff and just, you know, win them with kindness. Now, we need to have the love of God as well. But we have a real enemy, don't we? We better take the fight to the enemy before the enemy takes the fight to you. You want to see personal victory, you realize we have an enemy, and we must take the fight to them. Hey, the devil needs to be defeated, doesn't he? I'm sick of seeing the devil get victories. Aren't you? I'm sick of seeing the devil ruin people's lives and marriages and young people. I'm sick of it. Take the battle to the enemy. We have an enemy, church. Let's realize it. That flesh needs to be defeated. The world, the system of this world must be defeated. So, well, I don't want to speak up and ruffle any feathers because you see where the world's going, though? It's time for Christians that we stand up and we speak up and that we're salt and light in this world. We must take the fight to the enemy. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil's a coward if you take the battle to him. You take the fight to the devil, God on your side, he will run away. But too many Christians don't want to take the fight to the enemy. God's people must stand up and speak up and defeat the enemy. Number two is this, God's people need to be encouraged. Why do we need to see personal victory? Because there's people back home hiding. They're not going to go fight the Philistines. They're scared. What are they going to do? There needs to be some bravery and some courage as a Christian that I'm going forward for God. Right? There's young people watching. They're watching their Sunday school teachers. Right? They're watching their bus leaders. They're watching the senior saints. They're watching those here to see, are you going to go and see victory for God? Are you going to step out and do something for God? They're watching you. They're watching. You know how many young people right now, they're everything that you teach in a class, you sit next to them, they see you, they're watching you in your life. And they're going to follow the faith that you have or that you don't have. They need to be encouraged to do more for the Lord. 1 Samuel 14 and verse number 22. 1 Samuel 14 and verse number 22, the Bible says this. After they saw the victory, it says, likewise, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. Hey, they didn't follow Jonathan and the armor bearer to battle to begin with. But when they saw victory, they said, hey, it's time to go. They said, it's go time. Let's get up. Verse number 23, it says, so the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth-Aven. They went and took the battle to the Philistines because someone stepped out by faith and said, we're going to do something for God, and others followed their faith. I think of Daniel, as Daniel is a captor in Babylon, and they're going to teach him the Babylonian language and their customs and eat the food. They're going to turn those Israelite Jewish boys into Babylonians, aren't they? They're going to worship their gods. And when they got there, Daniel purposed in his heart, I will not defile myself with the portion of the king's meat. And when Daniel stood up, what happened after he stood up? Then all of a sudden you hear about a Shadrach, a Meshach, Abednego, right? Because one stood up, they were all thinking, man, what if we, and one stood up, and they followed the faith of someone that stood out and spoke up. But too many times we think, well, if I stand up for God, what are people going to think about me? I might lose my job. There are consequences sometimes to living for God, but the blessings always outweigh the consequences. Amen? You step up for God, you will encourage others behind you. Mom and dad, your kids need to see you get victory. They need to see you fight the battle. You know what, as a parent, it's easier to give in, isn't it? It's easier. It takes work to fight the fight and stay right and do the do's and don't the don'ts. But guess what? Your kids need to see you, parents, stay faithful and get the victory in your life. Parents, don't change because your kids give you a fuss and a fight about what you believe. They need to see your faith, and they need to see you get victory in your life. You're going to encourage the next generation behind you. But too many times, those that should be fighting the battle step back. What happens in the next generation? That's what I worry about. What about those that step out of the battle? I don't believe in that Bible anymore, and I don't have those, dress convictions anymore, and the music and all that. What happens to the next generation? Where are they going to go? You got to draw the line somewhere. You got to fight the fight, and we might as well draw the line where God draws the line, shouldn't we? We got to encourage the next generation because someone else needs the light of the gospel. They need a church. They need a Sunday school class and a bus route to go to. In Hebrews 13, it says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. You have others that are following your faith. You say, well, the kids are out of the house. They're still following your faith. They're still watching you. Do they really believe what they said they believed, grandparents? Do they still believe it? Or are they changing now just because it's more convenient? Let's encourage the next generation. Let's help the next generation. Encourage those that are hiding, younger ones that haven't grown up yet. Why do we need to see victory? Lastly is this, because God needs to be lifted up. Amen? Because God needs to be lifted up. Jonathan and his armor bearer, they didn't go and say, let's get a victory so we can put another notch in our armor. Let's go back and do like the athletes and point to the name on your jersey. You know, let's lift me up. No, they said, let's go to get a victory. Look at this again. In verse number 14, it may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by a few. They weren't going in their own strength. They were going in God's strength. Amen? They were going for God. And the Bible says in verse 23, so the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth-Aven. God, God, a victory. God, God, a victory. Church, we better be lifting up God, not ourselves, right? We have a great God, don't we? We don't even just have a good God, although He is good. We have a great God. Amen? We have a powerful God. We have a powerful God. Amen? We have a great God. God that still saves. He's still on the throne. That God is still working. We have a great God. Let's lift Him up. Amen? Let's go see a victory so that God can be lifted up. People around town, all around us, never heard the name of Jesus. Never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would have no idea if they were going to heaven or hell. No idea. They need someone to lift up God to them. Right? They need you to go to your workplace and lift up God and say, no, I don't talk that way. You don't have to preach to them. I don't talk that way. I don't look at those things. I don't do that. I'm a Christian. Well, what is that? Let me tell you about my God. What a great opportunity, right? If you're a Christian and you work in a secular workplace, you should stick out. Like big time. You should stick out. And not for the bad ways, for the good ways, all right? People should know you're a Christian. You should lift up your God. They should hear you praise the Lord. I've been praying about this. I went to church on Sunday. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I've got a great God. Can I pray for you about that? Can I tell you what God can do for you? We better lift God up because we have a great God, don't we? We have a great God, a powerful God. We need to be pointing people to God, don't we? We need to be pointing people to God, not to ourselves, but to the Lord. Because it's God that gives us the victory. Not my strength, not my abilities, not my talent. It's God. Christians, we don't need to live in defeat. We don't need to live in fear. And we don't need to live thinking, well, someday I'm going to do something for God. Too many times we're sitting back, someday, why not today? Right? Why not today? The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The harvest must come in. There's a timing that is needed for that harvest while we sit and we wait for someone else to step up. What's happening? We better not live in defeat and live in fear. We should live in victory. Amen? I don't know about you, but when I play a game, I hate to lose. Right? I hate to lose. I don't care how old you are, I hate to lose. Right? I want to win. And I've told you this before, if you're on my team and you don't want to win, don't play on my team. Play on someone else's team. Well, at least we didn't lose by that much. That's a loser mentality, okay? Right? I want to win. And I want to win big, all right? What do they say? The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. I'd rather live on the victory side, wouldn't you? Oh, victory in Jesus. I want to live in victory, not defeat. Maybe tonight it's victory over sin that you need. You've been battling sin, but you've been losing the battle. Let's live in victory. Maybe what you're living in defeat is of being a witness for the Lord, hiding that light under a bushel. Whatever it may be, the Lord speaks to your heart. Maybe it's about doing the will of God. Someday I'm going to do God's will. What about today? Why not now? What's holding you back from doing something from God right now? It may be the Lord will work for you, right? How about stepping out by faith, right? Stepping out by faith. Too many times we have to have it all planned out. I like to plan. I'm a planner, all right? But stepping out by faith is needed as a Christian. Right? If it has to check all your boxes, If it has to go according to your schedule, that's not faith. That's you. That's not God. It may be the Lord will work for you if you just step out by faith. Don't discourage, don't discount the small victories. Don't discount the small victories. If you get a victory, thank the Lord for that. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. Don't discount the small victories. Let's encourage others to get in the battle. Let's get in and encourage others to get in as well. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Please, we'll begin the invitation time. God, I pray you'd help us to see victory tonight. Not live in fear, not live in defeat, not living for another day. How about today? Why not now? Why not you? Maybe young person, God is calling you in your life. God has a call on your life. What are you waiting for to do God's will for your life? What are you holding back on? What does God have to do anymore to open up that door for you to step forward by faith and say, I want to see God use me and I want to see God do a victory? Maybe it's a matter of your salvation. You don't know that you're saved on your way to heaven. You're living in defeat. Come forward and trust in the Lord as your Savior. Wherever the Lord is speaking, wherever the Lord is calling, have you seen personal victory lately? With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? Lord, would you please speak and work in the invitation time? Would you move in a mighty way in each and every heart and life? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano begins to play, would you come as the invitation time begins? The altar's open. When is the last time you've seen personal victory in your life? Has it been dry? Has it been empty for a while? Has it been a little cold? When's the last time you truly stepped out by faith for the Lord?